he's coming to town. I just didn't know he was going to be at church tonight, is what I mean. And 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16 tonight. 2 Kings chapter 16. What did you do, Josue? Forget your Bible? No? Oh, okay. 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. I'll give you a moment to find that. 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. And we had a good day today, I think, although the attendance was down. And I guess there was a very large function in South Dakota, so a lot of people were gone out of town. Sudanese function, I'm sorry. So this was the first time we'd been under 100 people in quite a little while. So this morning, 95 people in Sunday school, I think we had only. So anyway, it seemed a little low, but I couldn't figure out why all the Sudanese people were gone. I guess they went to you Congo people don't do that kind of stuff, do you? No, you're very smart. And you're very wise. And some sort of a countryman function up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or someplace up there. So anyway, and all right, 2 Kings chapter 16. Let's stand to our feet if you have that, 2 Kings chapter 16. And verse 10 is where I'm going to start reading at. And 2 Kings chapter 16. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, that's how I'm going to say that, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus, and King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz, made against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering, and poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar which was before the Lord from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offering, and with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded, and King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them, and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it, and put it upon a pavement of stones and the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house. And the king's entry without turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. And we're going to stop right there. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll let you be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless tonight, Father. I pray that you bless this time now, and bless our theme this month, Father. This, if the foundations be destroyed, Lord God, we've been emphasizing on Sunday nights and talking, Lord God, about the importance, Father God, of that, and then on Wednesday nights about doctrines of salvation, Lord God, and the importance of that. And I pray for these things now, Father, that you would bless this time tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. King Ahaz, the king here of Judah, has decided to self-style his quote-unquote religion, his Christianity, if you will. A little self-styling of it. He's making some changes here. Now, it had already been laid out by God to Solomon, which was a long time before Ahaz came along. about how it was supposed to be done. Amen. Everything was supposed to be done a certain way. God had laid it out to Solomon about how it was supposed to be done, and God had a certain way he wanted it done. Amen. And then what happens now is King Ahaz comes along all this time later, and he decides to change some things. He decides here in our story to build a new altar. Where did he see it at? In a foreign land, right? Amen. A new altar in a foreign land that he saw. And so he found himself then a man of God who was for hire, amen, to build it for him. And then he changes it out for God's brazen altar. Switches him. Decides to start having the sacrifices put on that one. So now he has a new altar in place of God's altar. He's moved the brazen altar to another place. He even changed the foundation of the brazen laver, which was where the priests washed themselves. Amen. And so now King Ahaz has done something. He has made himself a self-styled religion. A self-styled religion. He's changed things from God's pattern of what God wanted it to be, and he has self-styled it to a way that's more fitting for him, making it the way that he wants it to be. Amen. There has always been a saying for a long time, and it's not so prevalent today, and this actually is a sermon I preached years ago, but the saying was real much more popular back then from a certain fast food restaurant about having it your way. Amen. It was, of course, Burger King's the restaurant, if you're not familiar with that. But they used to say, you can have it your way. Amen. However you want it, you come in as a customer, and you can have it your way. We'll make it however you want it. You can have it your way. How many's ever heard that before about that restaurant? Amen. Yeah. Do they still say it today? I don't know, because I don't eat at Burger King much, and I don't watch television hardly ever, and don't have public television at my house. But you can have it your way. That's what they always say. You can have it your way. And so it's a Burger King way to have it your way. And some years ago when I was making this sermon and so forth and getting some things out of my quiet time, I can remember some years ago when I preached this the first time, and it was a long time ago. Most of you probably weren't here, and the other half of you probably wouldn't remember it anyway when I preached it. But it came to my mind in these verses about how he self-styled it his way. And how he was having it done his way, and how it's such a contrast or such a connection to the things of today, and how people as Christians want it their way. They want it all their way today, just as if they were going into Burger King. Amen. It's one thing when you go order a Whopper to get it your way. It's another thing when you start trying to make Christianity your way, And so that's what happens. And people want to make it their way. And so tonight I'm going to call the sermon Burger King Religion. Burger King Religion. Have it your way. Now, let's look a little closer tonight at just exactly what King Ahaz did here. And I want to put it in the form of points. Number one, King Ahaz did this. He copied part of a heathen religion because he was running with the wrong crowd. So that's number one. King Ahaz copied part of a heathen religion because he was running with the wrong crowd. That was what he was doing. King Ahaz copied part of a heathen religion, I'll repeat it one more time for those taking notes, because he was running with the wrong crowd. King Ahaz was raised to do that which was right. He was raised by a godly daddy, and he had a goodly heritage. Uzziah was his grandfather, Jotham was his father, and both did that which was right in the sight of the Lord previous to him. So he had been giving some right teaching coming up. He just decided to do it his way. His dad, I don't think, was the best of kings, but the Bible does say that he did do that which was right in the Lord, and his dad had some failings. Jotham, he didn't remove the high places like he should have, and that was one of the exceptions to his doing of that which was right in the eyes of God, and maybe that's the compromise that got him. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing that messed him up. Maybe that area of compromise by his dad, maybe that influence they has to think that he could continue to compromise the things of God. And that's why we got to be careful. As Christians, we got to be careful as parents, amen, about compromising things, because our kids may be influenced by that, and they may be wrongly influenced to a degree that may harm them later on in their life and may cause them to go astray from the things that they've been taught and raised overall in because of some compromise that we gave into. And so King Ahaz, I believe, was raised to do right overall, though. King Ahaz didn't have strong enough faith, though, to trust the Lord completely. He just didn't. He would not have turned to the Assyrians for help against Syria and Israel, who he was fighting with at the time. And so instead of trusting God for a solution, who do you look to? The world. He looked to the world for a solution. Part of why he was in with the wrong crowd there. He was in the wrong place. He was looking for the answers in the wrong place. That's what got him to Damascus, which is where he saw the altar, by the way. When we don't trust God like we should, we look for human answers for problems that God has the answers to. Amen? And that's the problem. Looking for human answers to problems which need godly solutions. Amen? Our patience is oftentimes the problem. We're too impatient. Tonight, we need to develop patience as believers, amen, waiting on God to provide the answers because we're so impatient. We say, oh, we can't wait. We've got to have an answer now. We've got to know right away. Now, we've got to find out now. And so we push the door open somewhere where it doesn't belong open, into getting in with the wrong crowd, getting some influence or some ungodly advice from somebody that shouldn't even be around us. That's what happened to him. He had been faithful to God. But he didn't stay faithful to God, because in his upbringing there was some influence there where they were faithful to God, but then when he got to be on his own, all of a sudden, he didn't stay faithful. Had he stayed faithful to God, he would have seen the need, he would not have seen the need for foreign powers to try to help him out of this. He would have realized, hey, listen, I'm king of Judah. We have got God on our side if we just do that which is right. And if we do that which is right, amen, we've just got God on our side, and we won't have to be influenced by the heathen, folks. And that's the whole thing. Everybody, this election happened. Everybody's down in the mouth because old Obama got reelected. Well, I'm not saying I want him reelected, bless God. I want him gone, just like you did. But I ain't putting my faith and trust in the president anyway. I'm putting my faith and trust in God. Amen. So, to some, it's the end of the world, and it's definitely harmful for a country. I have no doubts about that in my mind, so I'm not trying to say it's not. But overall, I'm not worried about it because I know what the good book says. Amen. And I know if I do what the good book says I'm supposed to do, amen, then guess what? I'm going to be all right because I'm putting my faith and trust in God and not putting my faith and trust in the things of this world. Is the economy going to get worse? Most definitely. Is the economy going to create more dependence on the government amongst our people? Most definitely it will. Most definitely it will. But I'm not trusting the government or our economy. I'm trusting God and his word. Amen. And that's what we need to do. But back to Ahaz here. Didn't have strong enough faith to trust the Lord completely. He was attracted, I believe, to the fanciness of the Assyrian's altar. He was attracted to the fanciness of the Syrian's altar. Sorry, did I spit on you? And that's all right. If I didn't, I'll get you next time. He was attracted to the fanciness of their altar. It looked good. That looks better than what we got in Jerusalem. Man, I tell you, that's sharp. I like it. All we got's an old, plain, brazen altar. And just the old, plain, brazen altar just ain't going to do no more. We got to have a fancy one like this. We got to have one like they got. We got to keep up with the Assyrians. It's important. That's kind of the way it is today, isn't it? The old plain church building won't do anymore. We have to have the fancy one. And believe me, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a nice building. But the old plain one just won't do. Just not going to be good enough. Just not going to be nice enough. We're just going to have something really fancy. It just won't do. The old plain man of God won't do either. We have to have one of the fancy ones, amen? We have to have one in the fancy robes, amen? Dresses like mama, but they call him papa, amen? Got to have one like that. That's what we got to have. Got to have us a fancy one, amen? The fancy way. The fancy way, amen? That's what we got to have. The fancy way. Got to have somebody who talks real nice, nice, proper etiquette. Is a real fancy, slick dresser. Doesn't raise his voice. That's what we need. The old man of God won't do anymore. We got to have one that's fancy, fancy. The plain old music won't do anymore. We have to have fancy stuff. The fancy music. We've got to have a drum set. Spice it up, amen. We got to get rid of the hymnals. Bring in the chorus club. And bring in the choruses. Put them up on the walls and all that kind of stuff. Can't just have piano music. We've got to add something more to it. We've got to jazz it up somehow. We've got to make it more attractive somehow. We have to have it our way. The old way just won't do. The old music just won't do. Hey, wait a minute. The old time music still works, folks. The old time preaching still works, folks. The old time church house will still work, folks. All the things that worked of yesteryear will still work today, amen. Just because everybody else seems like they're not doing it anymore doesn't mean it doesn't still work. Amen. It still works. It still works. We're looking at it the wrong way. We think we have to have a large crowd or we're not successful. Wait a minute. That's not what it's based upon. If I understand my Bible correctly, get towards the end, it's just going to be a remnant. That's not a very large group. That's just what remains that's left over. That's just what's left. And so it doesn't mean you're always going to have a large crowd, and if you don't, then you're just not successful. That's not what that means. The old plain King James Bible just won't do anymore, they say. We have to have something more fancy. We have to have a more modern version, more modern English. We have to have an NIV and an ASV and an RSV and probably an HIV and everything else. That's what we got to have, bless God. That's what we need. Got to have some Watchtower magazines. Amen. Got to have a Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price. Some have to have a Koran. Some have to have Torah. Some have to have some latest Scientology book that's on the market. And we just can't have a plain old King James Bible. Because it's too hard to read. It's too tough. We've got to have something more modern. Something more fancy. Just like Ahaz. He had to have it his way. He had to have it his way, just like a lot of Christians today and so-called Christians have to have it their way. I believe compromise was the biggest problem that King Ahaz faced, and I believe that's the biggest problem that modern-day Christianity faces today. It's compromise. 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 That's why we can't get involved with ecumenical groups in town, because it would cause us to compromise. Compromise. Independent Baptist preachers take up with people that aren't independent Baptists. Doesn't make a lick of sense. Right. Doesn't make a lick of sense. Amen. Whatsoever. Why would they? It's supposed to be to reach bigger crowds. Take up with charismatics. What for? Because we want to be nice to everybody, and after all, they've got the crowds, so we've got to try to get some of their crowds. You won't get much when you gain any of their crowd anyway. Their thinking's corrupt. Most of them have been taught the wrong thing for too long, and they've got too many crazy charismatic ideas to be much of any use to any independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist who holds to the Baptist distinctives of our forefathers. Amen. It's true. It's true. Compromise hurts. churches. They say, but preacher, we could get bigger crowds if you just loosen up in a few areas. Yes, we probably could. We probably could. But guess what? I've been here, 10 and a half years. I haven't loosened up in any areas in 10 and a half years. Haven't got tired of standing for what's right, because it's the truth and it's important to stand for what's right. Amen? And it definitely is. You say, but preacher, if you would just keep to the Bible teaching and just lose some of that preaching part with all the hollering and screaming, I think we could really grow. That's what one man told me years ago. I said, no, I don't think so. Paul said to Titus, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Amen. So preaching is the method that God has chosen to use. Amen. It's very important to remember that. I can't compromise in my preaching or in my associations. King Ahaz compromised in his associations, and it led to our next point tonight, number two. Amen. King Ahaz found himself a man of God willing to compromise. King Ahaz found himself a man of God willing to compromise. Just give you another moment to write that down for those who are writing it down. King Ahaz found himself a man of God willing to compromise. There is no leader. I mean, we see that there is no leader that is so wicked that he cannot find liars and false ministers and others like that to serve his purposes. They always do, don't they, Brother Yeager? They always do. King Ahaz found him one too. He found him a man of God that was willing to compromise along with him. I mean, think back to King Ahab, not Ahaz now, but Ahab, and think about his association that Jehoshaphat, who was a good king, had with him. And think about, and this was before this time, but think about how he was able to come up with a whole bunch of false preachers that were saying the wrong thing. And Jehoshaphat, remember what he said? Is there not yet another man of God here? In other words, he says, I don't want the word of these pussyfooting compromisers, but I want the word of a real man of God. Because Jehoshaphat still had enough spirituality about him to realize, hey, these guys, I ain't taking their word for it. We got to hear from a real man of God. Amen. And that's where we're at today. Compromise. And leaders can always find some quote-unquote spiritual person, some false minister, some liar, to line up with them and try to back them up with what they're doing. So King Ahaz found him his, and that was Urijah. Urijah no doubt knew better, I think, but he was willing to conform himself in order to keep ear with the king and keep his position. He was a compromiser. There's no doubt. He knew better. He had to have known better. But he wanted to keep his spot, I think. Today, we have compromise running abound. Compromise. Think about some, was it a year or two back? Something like that. When, not that these people are real Christians, you know that, but the University of Notre Dame had our president speak. Well, wait a minute. The things that they stand for would be against abortion, and he's for abortion. Why would you have him speak? They're against homosexuality. They're a lost religion, I understand that, but he's for homosexuality and queers getting married and all that business, and they had him speak. Why would you have anybody like that speak from any pulpit on your campus or any platform on your campus like they did a couple years back, as I recall? Things like that. It's amazing how people compromise. And the list could be endless. We could probably come up with 10 other examples if we went on here with that line of thought. But it makes no sense. What will people do in order to have favor with the king? They do have favor with the king. Folks that have a Burger King religion is the problem. That's the problem. Burger King religion. The saddest thing is the compromise of true men of God. True men of God dip their sails in order to have larger attendances in their churches. They take the name Baptist off their sign in order to get the crowds in. They're dressing down in order to appease the people. They're losing their old associations with the fundamental right-wingers in order to get more liberal ones, in order to broaden their horizons and grow their crowds and get ears with more people that they think they can be more successful with. We have churches in our own town that have taken the name Baptist off the sign in order to grow themselves. And to be honest with you, if you looked at the place now, you wouldn't think Baptist at all, Brother Yeager. They don't even use the King James Bible solely anymore. They use other versions of the Bible. How sad is that?
Yeah.
Very sad. Very sad, very sad. But that's the day and age we live in. Full of compromise. A man of God should not be able to be bought by any earthly king for any price. Neither should the biggest givers in the church be able to buy the man of God. Someone who is a member should not be able to have a preference met that goes against the pastor's convictions. Urijah dipped his convictions by building a fancy altar. What did he do? He built it for the king. That's what the king wanted him to do. He knew he shouldn't be building that altar, but he built it anyway. Well, why? Because the king wanted me to. That's why. Hey, he should have stood up and said, no, God ain't for that, bless God. He told Solomon how it was supposed to be a long time ago, and we got to stick with what he told Solomon because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes,
say, well, the king would have had him thrown out and removed him. He would have been better off.
Amen.
He would have been better off. He would have been better off. Urijah dipped his convictions. Isaiah wouldn't have done it. He was close to this time period with his life. He was greatly influenced by Urijah's grandfather, Uzziah. Isaiah was a strong man of God. He wouldn't have dipped his sails. He wasn't the priest, of course, but he was a prophet of God. But he was still a man of God that wouldn't have compromised. And later, if it cost him his life at the hands of the king, he would have went ahead and let it cost him his life. But Urijah wasn't like that. He dipped his convictions. He didn't stand by them. He didn't stand for what he knew was right. Number three tonight. King Ahaz kept back the truth for himself. King Ahaz kept back the truth for himself. He kept back the truth for himself. Let's, if you still got your Bibles open, let's look at verse 15 here in our text. In chapter 16 of 2 Kings, chapter 16, verse 15. Notice in, give me a moment for those of you still writing that down. King Ahaz kept back the truth for himself. Now notice verse 15, and King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering, and the evening meat offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice, and his meat offering with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar. Notice this statement, shall be for me to inquire by. So he establishes by commandment his own wicked proceedings here to go forth with this new altar. And he abolishes the commandment or the ordinance of God, basically, in regards to the way it was supposed to be done. But wait a minute. He wants the truth to be for everybody, but he doesn't want anybody else to be able to inquire of God but him. Interesting, isn't it? So he wants to set himself up in whose place then? God's. Yeah, because that was for him to inquire by. That was for him. The brazen altar, we're going to keep that just for me. I'll just inquire by it. You all, you're going to use this. Oh, where'd this come? Oh, Damascus. That's where we got the idea from. Urijah built it for me. I told him the design to make it into. You all going to use that. This old one, I'm going to keep it for myself. I'll inquire to God. And then he himself will take the place of God, was ultimately what was going on there. He's going to keep that for himself to use. He wants to be the truth for everybody else. He doesn't want anybody else to inquire to God. That's what most modern day Burger King religions do today, folks. Amen. They either take away the word of God altogether, or they demise and degrade the word of God to the point that it is ineffective for the people. Some say that the word of God is just for the leadership and not for the laity. Then they constantly change their doctrine to fit whatever direction they want to go. I think that's what Catholicism does, isn't it? The people don't know the difference because they don't read the Bible. They aren't encouraged to read the Bible. Therefore, they don't know what is truly found in the Bible. What did God say? 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Some say that there are other books besides the Bible. They start to sound like us in the beginning, and then they change a little here, a little there. They start talking about the Bible, then they pull a little switcheroo tactic. "Well, this is a good book, and we'll set this aside now, and let's show you this. Let's show you this Book of Mormon." They love to do that. "Let's show you this Pearl of Great Price. Let's show you this Watchtower magazine that you can look at, this Awake magazine," and so forth. All these JFW publications, amen, Jehovah's False Witnesses. And so they call them JWs. In some places we call them JFWs. Let's pull a little switcheroo. "The Bible's a good book, but let's give you something else here to read." This is kind of what King Ahaz did a little bit, amen? When he replaced the brazen altar with the new great altar and had the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering offered upon it, he was making a change. Then he kept the brazen altar aside for himself. Said, "I'll keep it for me." What does God say, though? Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Amen. Some say it's up to the people to decide what the Bible says. So they want to have group Bible studies and discussions. This is a good Burger King tactic, amen, that allows for the people then to decide what part of the Bible they want to follow. That's what they do. Because see, people always want to try to get it their two cents in. And that's what they do. I tell you, I've been in churches before where they'll just stand up and say stuff. And they'll just say, you know. And I mean, I've been in churches before, they got people saying stuff. I come find out they ain't even members of the church, bless God. And you know, I said, "Who is that guy anyway?" They said, "Oh," they said, "his kids are members over here." I said, "Well, he's not a member?" "No, he's not even a member here." I said, "Then why is he up saying that?" And I tell you what, they like to do that group discussion thing because they all want to get in and say what they want to say. I don't know if some of you was in my Sunday school class when I had the auditorium class. Of course, that wasn't that long ago, but it was several years ago. This person was here and sitting right about over there, behind Brother Hodek. It was probably Brother Hodek had an effect on him there. But the fella, he says, "We're talking about tithing, amen. I'm teaching on tithing." It was stewardship month a couple of years back. Talking about tithing and so forth. And he's offended now. He's leaving. And he said, "Can I say something?" I said, "No, we don't have open forum here." He said, "It's kind of important." Okay, I don't let him talk. He sat there and raised his hand forever. You know, when they do that, Brother Yeager, you know, Brother Rice, when they do that, they stand there raising their hand. If you're a pastor, amen, you look the other way, amen. Don't talk to these people over here. Keep raising their hand. and I don't see you. And, look over here to these people. I mean, he's just going to talk. I mean, he just kept talking. He said, you were leading these people down the wrong direction when the New Testament, the word tithe isn't even found in the New Testament, which it is, by the way. But he said, you're leading them down the wrong direction. And I said, listen, you're going to have to leave or we're going to have to call the police and have you removed. Because he just kept talking and kept talking and kept talking. And pretty soon, what was he doing? He was taking over the Sunday school lesson. Well, listen, I said, they didn't come to hear what you had to say. They came to hear what I had to say because I was the one that made their pastor. So, you're going to have to shut up and sit down and leave. That's the bottom line. Now, he finally left. I said, well, I don't think Paul would be for this. You're right. I think Paul would have been a lot rougher on you. And, amen, I don't think he would have been for it either, amen. And Paul didn't pull any punches, amen. And but they always want to have group discussions and try to, let's just discuss it all. Let's just decide. Now, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 4:16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul said, amen. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, is what he said. So what was Paul saying? Hey, he said, I'm following Christ and you follow me, amen. And I will be your example. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample, which is the same thing as an example. So that's what the Bible says, amen. And let's not get into these big group discussions all the time where everybody, it creates confusion. I remember we had a fella here one time, sat right over here, right in a seat or two in front of the Foffs, and his Sunday school also, that seems to be the popular time for him. He said to me right before Sunday school, he said, I'm from such and such church here in town, and I said, okay, and I said, why are you over here then? And he said, well, what's going on over there? He said, I don't want to be over there for that. It's going to be better for me to be over here today. He said, because I don't like what's going on over there. They're having a fight. So, okay, we'll go on and sit down then. And about halfway through the lesson, he thought it was his job to correct me on the lesson. He thought he had the points down better than I did. It was hilarious because then as we continued on with the lesson, it showed that he was wrong anyway. But I told him, I said, what do I have open for him? Well, I thought, at our place, we just get up and talk. I said, well, that's probably why you're having a fight over there, bless God. Amen. That's probably what the problem is, because you're just letting everybody talk and tell what they want to all the time. Well, bless God, you get this many people together, and you get opinionated people together, and they're going to say what they say, and this is going to say what they say. Everybody's got an opinion. Amen. It's just like armpits. Amen. Some of them stink, though. That's the problem. Amen. And so everybody's got one. Well, hopefully two. And they got opinions. But listen, he's just a visitor here for 1 week. I don't care what you have to say. Shut up and sit down. No, I was nicer than that, but I was nicer to him than I was the other fellow. The other fellow was contentious, though. This guy was just out of line is all, but he didn't realize it. And he was trying to do it in a nice way. But it's just that's the way it is. And of course, many of us may remember the woman that stood up and said, I disagree! And I hate to admit it, I know you wouldn't believe it because I never get mad, but I got mad. I said, you disagree? I said, if you disagree, I said, there's a church down there that way, so many blocks. I said, there's a church over here, so many blocks. I said, there's a church over here, so many blocks. I said, there's a church over there, so many blocks. I said, if you disagree, I said, go to one of those. Amen. So what happened? At the invitation, she got saved and baptized. Amen. That's what happened. Now, I said, we don't have open forum to that woman, too. And she said, what's that? I said, means you just can't get up and talk. Yeah. Amen. I said, when I speak, I said, nobody else speaks unless they're saying amen. And they don't get up and start talking while I'm talking. Amen. And we've had some dillies here over the years. Amen. But people love that open forum. They love that talking just out and give their opinion and so forth. That's Burger King Christianity, though, folks. We say to them, I mean, could you imagine? The Apostle Paul preaching? Could you imagine John the Baptist preaching, amen? Crying aloud and sparing not. And, they might have, I don't know, but he probably just kept hollering. I disagree! I disagree! That's nice. Shut up and sit down. The Apostle Paul preaching. I mean, I don't think they stood up and said, I disagree. I think it ought to be this way. I think you ought to be doing that. I mean, they didn't do that. Now, they fell asleep and fell out of lofts and died, and he raised them up again. But he preached until midnight, amen. You were upset when I preached until 8:30, amen. And I'm not preaching until 8:30, no. And 9 o'clock. Yeah. Wait a minute, I haven't had supper yet. All right. Let me say tonight, Lincoln Baptist Church is not a Burger King church, amen. You can't have it your way, but instead we should want it God's way, amen. That's what we need to have. I want it my way when I order a Whopper, not when I go to church, amen. Number four. King Ahaz even messed with the water. He even messed with the water. There's your fourth and last point, but don't wrap it up just yet. Number four, King Ahaz even messed with the water. Interesting enough, the laver comes second. Ahaz moved it, and he changed the foundation upon which it sets. In God's order, the sacrifice comes first, and the washing second. Sacrifice first, washing second. In God's order of Christianity, salvation comes first, and baptism comes second. Amen. Salvation first, baptism second. Amen. And we've had a few people here the last couple weeks a little confused about that, I think. And like one today, amen, a little confused. Oh, I did that in my own country. And okay, when did you get saved? When I went by your house the other day? Yes. And then you need to get baptized, amen. And we'll see. Maybe he'll come around. And but it's salvation first, baptism second. Salvation first, baptism second. In the Burger King religion, oftentimes what's done with the water is changed. Make sure you get this, amen. They make it first. They put it in the first order. They change the method to pouring or sprinkling. They make it part of the salvation process. They corrupt it in about every way that they possibly can corrupt it. Now, at Lincoln Baptist Church tonight, baptism will always be second. It will never be by any other method than immersion only, and will always be a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and nothing more. There's no salvation involved or connected to it in any way, shape, or form. This ain't no Burger King, bless God. Too many people want it their way, but God did not intend for it to be that way. Why does man change that anyway? For convenience sake, don't they? Yeah, convenience. It's more convenient to sprinkle a baby than it is to have an adult get into the water and get immersed by water, or an older child. It's much easier that way, just to sprinkle them all. Then they'll all be part of the church. And of course, in those Burger King religions, church membership's part of your salvation, so we got to get them a part of the church, and we know that you got to be baptized to be a part of the church, right? So we'll just baptize them right away when they come out of the womb. We'll get them early. It's a problem. It's Burger King religion. He was specific, God meaning, specific about the order he gave to Solomon. Ahaz felt like he could change and style it to how he wanted it to be done. It wasn't right, and God was not going to bless it. Hezekiah came to power before long, and he righted all the wrongs of his father, getting the Burger King religion out of Jerusalem. They had a great revival under Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the great kings, amen. He did a great job because he realized he couldn't have a Burger King religion. Amen. Tonight we must decide that we will not fall prey to Burger King religions in our society. We must also decide that we will not allow Lincoln Baptist Church to fall prey to becoming a Burger King religion church. Amen. It always bothers me when people come in, they want to change something. Amen. When you come here and you come a part of our church, you're joining us. We're not joining you. We have a way that we do things. We believe it's based upon God's word. We're not ever going to have somebody come in here and join our church and try to change us. But listen, we've had that over the years. We've had that over the years. And I realized not too long back we lost some people because they wanted the Burger King way. Amen. That's why we got more holes here tonight. But that's all right. We're doing just fine. We're going to have it the Burger King way. You can't self-style it and make it your way. You can't have it your way all the time. There's a certain way. You came here, you joined us. We never joined you. We never sought out to join you. Somebody's coming because they don't like the way we do some certain things with our tracks. That's fine, but hey, listen, you're not even a part of us. They want a little bit of my time, and I'm giving them a very little bit of my time this coming Wednesday. But you're not changing us. Bless God. And we are who we are. Amen. We're independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, and we're an independent Baptist church. And they're not coming to change us. They're not coming to change us. And, you know, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And I want to be kind to people and so forth. And don't worry, I'll be kind to them. Maybe. But you're not changing us. Not changing us. There's nothing wrong with our gospel tracts. There's nothing wrong with our plan of salvation. There's not, they told Brother Rager, they said, well, the quality of seed that you're putting out there, wait a minute, we're talking about people who probably hold to NIV Bibles, brother. And they're talking about the quality of our seed. Amen. They should have read the sign this morning when they were there. Amen. King James Bible, it says on the back, and that's all we use. Amen. Anybody who's using something that's a non-King James Bible is corrupt seed. So don't talk to us about the quality of our seed. Let's talk about the quality of your seed. Amen. Like the non-existent corrupt seed that you can't even get saved from. Amen. You can't get saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't get saved by all these bloodless religions and bloodless books and bloodless churches. It's Jesus Christ and his shed blood, and that's what saves us from hell. Amen. And without that, there's nothing. Amen. And yes, we realize, number one, you got to be a sinner. And yes, we realize, number two, that there is a price or a penalty for your sin, and it is to die and go to hell. And yes, we believe that. And yes, we preach that, bless God. And for somebody to think we don't, I don't know where in the world they're at, but they haven't been around here much. Because we're always preaching hell is hot. Amen. And yes, we understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And yes, we understand that we have to accept him and be born again. Amen. And if you're not born again, you're going to split hell wide open. But anybody who wants to add any kind of lordship to that, it's a false salvation. It's a work salvation. And they're going to die and go to hell because they're trusting in good works of their own righteousness. Amen. That's why Wednesday night we taught last Wednesday on imputation. Amen. It's imputed righteousness is what we have, and we trust Christ. Amen. We trust Christ, realize our own righteousness will do us nothing, but rather it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is then put on our place of our sins on our account. Amen. Praise God for his blood taking our sins away, but praise God for his righteousness is imputed to our account. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We are not going to be a Burger King religion. Amen. Yeah.